Are we ready to hear the word? Awesome. I'm ready to teach the word as well this morning. Let's just pray for the word. Father, we thank you this morning for the teaching of the word. Father, this is not a man's word. I believe it is your word. And your word is alive. Your word is active. Your word is sharper than any double-edged sword. And today we pray that your word will come and do its perfect work. Lord, we pray for revelation. I pray for understanding, that our hearts will be fertile grounds that can receive the seed of this word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Awesome. Let's go straight to the word. Let's open in the book of Habakkuk. I don't know how you pronounce this. How do you pronounce Habakkuk? Habakkuk. Right. I'm not sure how I'm going to go through this because it's going to be a lot of Habakkuks today. All right, let's go to Habakkuk chapter 1 from verse 2 to 4. If you don't know, it's one of the minor prophets. They call it minor just because of the size, but it's just one of the prophets that God used in a mighty, mighty way. If you cannot find the book of Habakkuk, go to the index. You will find Habakkuk there, and then you will see the page in your Bible. Okay, so Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Verse 2 to 4. Now, a bit of a background for you to understand what was happening here. This was a time in the nation of Judah where Judah was going through a tough season. The nation of Judah was going through turmoil. It was after a time of reformations that were brought about by King Josiah. Remember, King Josiah became king at the age of 8. But he was so powerful that in the 40 years of his reign, he was able to bring back worship. He was able to bring back the fear of God in the nation of Judah. He took people back to true worship. He destroyed all the high places. He destroyed all the idols that the children of God were now worshiping. And he brought back true worship. And prosperity came back into the house of Judah. And it was a great time. That season came and went by. And Judah regressed. Judah went back. And this is where we find the nation of Judah. And Habakkuk happened to live during that time of turmoil where things were not easy at all. So I've just tried to paint a picture of what was happening in the nation of Judah. Now Habakkuk writes, and he's talking to God. He's praying to God. Who knows that when you are in trouble, the right thing to do is to speak to God. Hello, somebody. When there's turmoil in your house, the right thing to do is to speak to God the Father. But do you know what we do sometimes? When you have problems in your relationships, you look for friends to come and fix your problems. When you have problems in your marriage, sometimes you look for your sister-in-law to come and fix the problems. But Habakkuk here was talking to God. Verse 2. He says, "How long, Lord? How long must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing?" He had an issue with God. I don't know how many of us have had an issue with God at some point where you're like, "Lord, things are not working for me. How long am I going to be in this pain? How long is this confusion at work going to go on for?" And he says here, "Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds." Verse 4, "Therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." Now, here is a man of God. He was not just an ordinary guy. He was a prophet. So when you have an issue with God, okay, in inverted commas, when you are struggling to understand what is happening around you, there's nothing weird about you. There's nothing wrong with you. When you are coming before God and you're saying, Papa, something is not right in my life. When my son comes to me and he says, Daddy, something is not right. As a loving father, what do? Do I chase him away from my presence, or I lean towards and hear what is his problem? What is he crying about? Now, we find a prophet who was overwhelmed by the issues that were going on in the nation. We find a prophet who is addressing God, but this prophet in his heart, he was having this think that saying, I don't think God is concerned about the affairs of Judah. You've been praying to God, but somehow inside of you, you're saying, I don't know if God really cares about me. Because I've been praying about my issue for a long time. I don't know if he really cares about the affairs of man. In the eyes of the prophet, God was nowhere to be found and man was in utter control. In the eyes of Habakkuk, God was absent because man was in control. You could hear the way he describes the situation. He speaks of injustices. He says, there is wrongdoing all over. Tenderpreneurs are buying big houses. They seem to be making it. Evil people are doing well in this nation, and yet the righteous are suffering. Lord, why? The evil seem to have good health, and yet the righteous seem to have their bodies wearing down. Lord, why? The children of the evil people seem to be doing well at school, and yet our kids are struggling. Lord, why? Come on now, somebody. This was Habakkuk's case. He speaks of destruction. He says violence is all over the place. Lord, we cannot even drive our vehicles feeling safe because you don't know whether you're going to bring back your vehicle or not. You go to bed at night, you don't know whether you're going to wake up okay before somebody has come into your house. He's saying, Lord, there's violence, there's conflict, there's perversion of justice. Lord, why? It sounds like a nation under siege. It sounds like South Africa. It sounds like Africa. It sounds like the United States of America. The nations are under siege. Families are under siege. You see, our parents grew up in the era where marriage was sacred. My mom, my dad, in their era, mommy would stay home even when it was tough because marriage was the right thing to do. But today, people will get married today and within 6 months, they will split out. And they say, it was a mistake. It was never meant to be. I was never meant to get married to you. I actually now have found my true soulmate. Families are under siege. Our children on TikTok, they are seeing things that they should not be seeing at the age of 12, at the age of 8, at the age of 7. What's happening? Our families and our children are under siege, and somebody needs to raise the alarm. And Habakkuk did something that should free every child of God today. Habakkuk raised the alarm. He said, why, Lord? He said, why, Lord? Now, this morning, I want you to realize the question why can and should and must be asked by every child of God. The question why can and should and must be asked by every child of God. You've got to be comfortable with that question why when it is posed to you and when you pose it to somebody else. You've got to be comfortable to come before your Father God and say, Father, why is this happening in my life? You know, we grow up in religious environments where you are not allowed to question things in church. Touch not the anointing. People in the church cannot ask the pastor, why did you make that decision? It doesn't sound as if it's in line with scriptures. If you do that, they will call you names. And because of that, you are not comfortable with asking God the Father, Daddy, why am I feeling uncomfortable right now? Daddy, why am I not at peace? Why am I not getting healed? You're not comfortable to ask the Father those questions. But here Habakkuk is giving us a green card to say, it's okay to ask the question why. It's okay to come before God and asking for an answer. You see, his situation demanded that he should ask God about the state of affairs. Your situation demands that you should go before the creator of the heavens and the earth and ask, Father, why? You are the maker of the heavens and the earth. Father, you created this body. How come this sickness is not going away? Hallelujah. I want you to realize that your ability to see again in the spirit, your ability to connect again with the vision of God about your life is made possible when you ask why. When your destiny seems not to go in the way you thought it should, you should ask, Father, why? Where am I missing the mark? Hello, somebody. Listen to me. If you cannot ask the question why, it means that you have made peace with the status quo. If you cannot ask the question why, it means you're okay with not making progress in your life. If you cannot ask the question why, it means you're okay with dispeace in your family. You're okay with the chaos and the crime in your community. But when you are at a place of being discontented, when you are at the place of being spiritually angry because of the stubbornness of your condition, you can ask the Father why. That is when you say, I will not leave my prayer closet until I get an answer. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the question why. Habakkuk asked the question because he believed that in God there is an answer to the problems. You see, the question why is not an indication of lack of faith. The question why is actually an indication of faith because you believe there is an answer somewhere. Hallelujah. An atheist will not ask the question why to God because he doesn't believe in God. But because you believe there is a true God and a living God, you will ask him the question why because you believe he's got answers to every problem that you have. Does somebody hear me this morning? So when your child asks you the question why, don't look at him and think he's a stubborn boy. No. He believes that you've got all the answers. She believes that you've got all the answers. Hallelujah. So the question is not a demonstration of lack of faith. You are expecting God to answer the question. Now, last week we spoke about the power of revisioning. The power of seeing again. The power of regaining your vision for your spiritual journey. The power to look again at where you are and ask, where should I have been today? Hello, somebody. And we are saying this portion of this question enables you to revision. You see, Habakkuk needed to make a shift. A shift from looking at what was happening in the natural and to look at what is happening in the spirit. I want you to know this morning that what happens in the natural needs to be shaped by what is happening in the spirit. But it's only when your eyes are open to what is happening in the spirit that you're able to draw what is in the spirit to infiltrate your natural circumstances. Now listen to me. You need to make the shift from being ruled by natural circumstances and to be confident in the hope we find in God. Every child of God needs to make that shift. I'm not saying deny your circumstances, but I want you to go to the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Glory be to God. Your realities cannot trump what the truth says. So you need to come to a place where you remove your focus from the circumstances in the natural. You then focus on the hope we find in the Word of God, where you're able to say, yes, this is my reality, but there is a higher dimension of life. There is a truth that God gave me. Glory be to God. When you do that, it changes the atmosphere in your life. And this is what Habakkuk needed to do. To shift from being consumed by the natural circumstances, the violence, the perversion of justice, the bribery, the pain, the sickness, to then focus on who God is. Because when you can see God clearly, you're able to invite God to your circumstances. And I'm telling you, when God is present where you are, your circumstances cannot remain the same. Hallelujah. Your situation cannot withstand the presence of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. I want you to know that when the Creator looked down and he saw the chaos that the devil had created, he said, "Let there be light where there was darkness." So when God steps into my family, he brings with him shalom. He brings with him nothing broken, nothing missing. And this is what we need to do to make the shift from being consumed by our natural circumstances to being anchored in the hope we find in Jehovah. Now, I know that was a long intro, but I want to talk to you this morning from last week's message where we spoke about the power of revisioning. Today, I want to talk about the technology of revisioning. How do you get yourself to a place of revisioning? To see again. Re is to do again. Vision means now you are re-looking at your vision. Last week you spoke about your spiritual vision, your dreams about how you want to walk with God, your aspiration about, I want to hear the voice of God again. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God wants you to revision every area of your life. After going through a difficult season of the coronavirus, you might have lost your bearings. And you need to find yourself again. You need to dream again with Jehovah, the dream giver. Hallelujah. You see, when God gives you a dream, he gives you capacity to fulfill it. That is why today I want to talk about the technology of revisioning. The question is, how do you go about revisioning your life? How do you go back to the drawing board? How do you go back to yourself and say, I've been writing this issue in my journal for years, but it hasn't come to pass. I've been there. I've gone back in my journals. You know, I would see certain prayers and say, I believe this is what God will do this year. And then the year comes and goes. It didn't happen. 4 years, 5 years. This thing is there in my journal. And I remember telling my wife, I remember there was a time where we were now giving, like, you know what, maybe the way God wants to do this, it is in this way. We are now trying to rationalize the situation. Maybe you are there. There is something that you've been writing for years and it hasn't come to pass. I must say there was a prayer that I've heard for the past 5 years. And much of this year, the Lord came through for me. And he opened that door. And that dream became a reality. It moved from a paper to a reality. Glory be to God. And I want you to know if you can hold on to the promises of God, he will do it. The issue is, we quickly give up. Listen to me. Last week we said, your vision determines your passions and your pursuits. Your vision will determine what you pursue. It will determine what you are passionate about. It will determine what burns within you. That is what your vision does. And this morning, I want to add another one. I'm saying, your vision determines your commitment and your investment. When you have a vision, you will commit to it. You will not give up until it becomes a reality. When you have a vision, you will invest time. You will invest your emotions. You will invest your relationships, your network. You will invest it into that vision. That is why in Proverbs 28 says, without a vision, people are without hope. Without a vision, we are aimless people. And this morning, we're going to talk about this ability to revision. How, you see, when you speak of the technology of something, it's simply the way something is done. It is the way you do something, the technology of doing something. Now, Habakkuk had a rant, you know, so he ranted out with God. God, why? Okay, maybe you've been there and you feel like your prayer has just been that. It has been complaints and complaints and complaints. But you know what? God is not surprised because he knows you. He knows exactly what trips you. And you're saying, Lord, right now I'm being tripped by this thing. Now, after Habakkuk posed the why before God, he did not simply run off and continued with life as usual. Many times we ask God the question, Lord, why? We leave it there and we continue with life. We walk back right into the context of the why and the source of the why. But what Habakkuk did, he took on a posture that expected an answer from God. Don't just ask the question. Put on a posture in your life of anticipation, of saying, I've asked the question why, I'm going to expect God to answer. And this is what every child of God needs to understand. When you come before God with questions, God has an answer for you. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, he says, call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you did not know or which you have not heard of. Many people do not call. But those who call, they don't wait for an answer. You know how it is? You ask a question, you greet your friend in the corridor. Hey, how you doing? How was your weekend? You don't wait for an answer. You walk away. We do that, especially in church. We ask each other, hey, how you doing? A lot of the times when we ask the question, how you doing, we're not expecting an answer. Because you are not ready to hear how I was doing. If you are ready to hear how I was doing, you might not even ask that question. Yeah? Habakkuk 2. Verse 11. This is what Habakkuk did. After asking the question, why, Lord, why are there so many issues? This is what he says in Habakkuk 2, verse 1. He says, I will stand on my watch and set myself on the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. If God wants to correct me, that's okay. But I'm going to wait for an answer. Hallelujah. And he says here, and Jehovah answered me and said. You see, when you ask God, expect an answer. So what is the technology of revisioning, seeing again, being able to reconnect with the destiny that God has for you? Number one, create a special meeting place with the Lord. I'm sure you've heard this before in this church. If you are to revision, if you are to see again, you see, when life happens, you lose sight of the future. When life happens to you, you lose sight of the dreams and aspirations that you had before life happened. And this is the thing. For you to regain perspective in life, you need to create a special meeting place with God. The Lord. As long as I have breath in my lungs, I'm going to say this until this church gets it right. That you need a special place, and that is called a secret place of prayer. You see, we need to get away from the place of you only pray when you are amongst other brothers. No. It's not what we do in public that really changes our lives. It's what we do behind the doors. It's what we do behind the walls that really changes what happens on the outside. You see, when you win your private battles, you will win every public battle that you will face. Many times we want to win in front of people, and we wonder why we lose those battles. It is because back at the ranch, nothing is happening. Habakkuk says, I will stand on my watch and I'll set myself on the tower. I've got a place. So Habakkuk had a place called his watch. Habakkuk had a secret place, a secret weapon that he had. And other versions actually say, I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the ramparts. I will stand at my guard post. And I want to ask you a question today. Do you have a guard post in your life? Do you have a secret place where you bring your issues before God in prayer? Habakkuk had a guard post. And he says, I will position myself in that guard post. Because he knew that it is in that guard post, it is in that place that the Father is going to meet me. Do you have an appointment with God? Do you have a date with Father God? where he knows that my daughter is going to come. Every single morning, 5 a.m. in the morning, she's going to come. She's going to appear. And I want to meet up with her. My son is going to come in his place. And I'll meet up with him. I've got stuff prepared for him. I don't know. Maybe your guard post is your vehicle. I remember when I was in high school, before I became a prefect, I was in boarding. My guard post was a toiletry. I used to go to the toilet, and that is where I would meet God in prayer. Within a dormitory, you couldn't really pray. I would go and close myself in a cubicle in the toilet and pray. Today, my guard post is my study. It's my place of, that's where I meet Jehovah. Do you have a guard post? When I was still young in our marriage with my wife, my guard post was at the bottom of the bed. I would lie down at the bottom, trying not to disturb her in prayer. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you have a guard post? In the absence of a guard post, you will not see in the spirit. Listen to me. In the absence of prayer, it is impossible to carry a God-ordained vision. In the absence of you being prayerful, you will not see in the spirit. You will see in the natural, but you always miss the mark. You see, a business deal can be presented before you. In the natural, it looks great. But in the spirit, there's a hook. When you are in your guard post and you pray about the deal, the Spirit of God will speak to you. You will say no to what looks like a great opportunity. And everybody would look at you and say, something is wrong with you. Why didn't you say yes to that deal? If you are not bold enough, you might not be able to tell them this, because God appeared to me and says, no, it's not for you. Hello, somebody. When you have a guard post, you are in a safe environment. Those of you who are trusting God for marriage, you don't just walk after any man who appears before you with a shiny vehicle. They seem to be doing well. They come to church, they raise their hands before God just for you. But when you have a guard post, the Lord will tell you that's not your husband. Hello, somebody. I'm talking about a people who knows their God. A people who say, I will not do anything until I have prayed about it. Do you pray to the Lord about your giving? Maybe we don't. You see, let me go to those of you who are single, who want to get married at some point. Don't expect God to speak to you about a spouse if he hasn't spoken to you about cleaning your room. My daughter has just laughed. Don't expect God to speak to you on bigger issues of life if he hasn't spoken to you about forgiving your friend. Hello, somebody. I'm talking about walking with God in such a way that he will speak to you on the minor issues. He will speak to you on the bigger issues. So in the absence of prayer, it is impossible to carry a God-ordained vision. Many visions are developed in the realm of carnality, and as a result, they are carnal in nature. Many visions are concocted after you've eaten too much supper, too much pizza. You start writing stuff that has nothing to do with your destiny, but everything to do with your neighbor. Because your neighbor has just bought a Q7, and you feel God is telling you, you're going to buy a Q7. Come on now. Really? I'm talking about carrying a God-ordained vision. Why am I saying this? What God births in you, he will create capacity for its fulfillment. Whatever God places on your heart, if it is from God, you can bank it. You can count on it, because he will come through. He will do it. Hallelujah. Philippians 1 verse 6 in the ESV, Paul says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to its accomplishment. He says, I am sure of this, that he who began, this is the key, he who began a good work in you, who began that work in you? Your wife, your friend, your boss. If it was your boss, trust the boss to come through. Don't trust God. But if it was God, hallelujah, he will come through for you. He who began a good work in you, he is faithful. He is able. That is why we are saying, have a secret place. Have a place where you meet with the author of life. Have a place where you meet with him and he gives you guidance and direction. Because if it is from him, he will sustain it. Glory be to God. You see, this is the thing. If you are facing a man or a woman who is carrying a vision from God, you won't be able to overcome them. If you are in front of a woman who is carrying a vision from God, it doesn't matter how you hate them, they will make it in their life. Why? Because it is not from them, it is from God. Hello, somebody. If you know that your friend has got a vision from God, you better partner with them. Because you become a beneficiary of what is coming from heaven. Glory be to God. Why am I saying this? There was a time where the apostles were preaching the gospel. The apostles were saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and be baptized and your sins will be forgiven. They were laying hands upon the sick and the sick were healed. And then the Sanhedrins, the Pharisees, the Sadducees were envious. And they say to them, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. The elders of church were jealous about the traction that the gospel was gaining. And they said, no, stop preaching the gospel. And then one day they incarcerated Peter and the other apostles. And through a miraculous jailbreak, an angel came and they were taken out of prison. And they were told, go back and preach the gospel. Speak the good news unto many people. Hallelujah. And then the guys were told, the ones whom you had incarcerated, they're out in the square preaching the gospel. They were called before the elders. And there was one Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a man of wisdom. And this is what he said. So, in the present case, I advise you. He's telling the other Pharisees and the elders, leave this man alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or endeavor is of human origin, it will fail. If their purpose is of a human origin, it will fail. Verse 39, but, take note, but if it is from God, you will not be able to stop them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. Hello, somebody. I'm talking about a vision birthed in prayer. A vision that comes from the heavens. If it is from God, you yourself, the carrier of that vision, you better be faithful to it. Hallelujah. Because you will be judged based on that vision. If it is from heaven, if it is from God, you will not be able to stop them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. That is why I'm saying today, like Habakkuk, after questioning God and saying, why, he stood in his position of prayer. And he says, I'm going to wait until I hear God speaking. Now, take note of this. It is through prayer that your spiritual eyes are opened and your spiritual senses are sharpened. When you pray about your lost vision, when you pray about your lost passions, when God comes, he quickens your spirit man. He quickens you to become excited again about what he has called you to do. Is your desire for ministry waning? Go back in prayer and pray about it. You will reignite a passion for souls. You used to preach the gospel. You used to share the good news. But today something has died. Go back to your closet. Go back to your guard post and pray about it. Because when you pray about something, your eyes, your spiritual eyes are opened. You become sensitive to the heart of God. It becomes possible for you to carry the heavenly vision for you. Jesus, the Son of God. Remember, Jesus was fully man and fully God. And this time we see Jesus in his fullness of man. Jesus was about to go through the crucifixion. Jesus was about to suffer the most severe death at that time. And he was praying. Jesus did not create a committee to talk about whether he should go to the cross or not. He did not call his body and say, guys, come. Does it make sense? Do you think this is really the will of the Father? It doesn't sound like my Father. Why would he allow me to suffer in this manner? No, Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, a place of crushing, a place of prayer. That was his guard post. Look at this. Luke 22, verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he kneeled down and prayed. He kneeled down. You see, this was the habit of Jesus. When you look at the Gospels, you are told that from time to time, Jesus will withdraw from his disciples and he would go into the mountain all night and he would seek the face of God. He would spend time with the Father. He would come down full of power and full of glory and demons would shrill away. Why? Because he had been replenished by the Father. The more I spend time in the presence of God, the more I can become a better husband for my wife. Let's bring it down to where it really matters. The more you spend time in the presence of God, the better you can become. Your best version can only come after you spend time in prayer. Do you know why? When you pray, you die to self. Prayer is a moment of death. It's a moment of surrender. That is why very few people will pray, because we don't want to die. Hello, somebody. Is church alive today? Now, here's Jesus. He kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. That is the key. How was he able to make that shift? In the sentence before, Lord, if it's your will, may this cup pass me by. He was just saying, I don't want to do this. I don't feel ready to do this. Lord, can this pass me by? Can you look for somebody else to do it? But then he was able to shift immediately. Yet not my will, but your will be done. That is what prayer will do to us. We are able to shift from a place of being fearful to engage the will of God for us to say, Father, let your will be done. I lay down my life. I lay down my ego. I lay down my pride so that you can have your way in my life. When that happens, the vision of heaven for us becomes so clear in our eyes. Because when you are in the flesh, the heavenly vision is blurry. Because it will ask a lot of your flesh. But when you are in prayer, you die to self and the heavenly vision becomes clear. Now Jesus says, not my will, but your will. Verse 43, this is very profound. The Bible says, and an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. You see, when you have your guard post, when you have your place of prayer, you tap into assistance from heaven. You experience heavenly assistance on the mission that God has ordained for you. And Jesus experienced an angel coming down and say, giving him strength. And from then on, the Bible says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He did not stop. He continued praying. And his sweat was, it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I'm talking about having your place, your secret place of prayer that enables you to see again, that enables you to dream again. You see, God has called you to be an entrepreneur. God has given you a grace to be a kingdom financier, but your first business did not work out. Your second business did not work out. Your third business did not work out. You're now in debt. For you to continue on that dream, you need to be in a time of prayer where God can come back and reassure you and says, I haven't changed my mind about you. My calling has not been withdrawn from you because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. You might have failed two or three times. That is why you need to go into prayer for you to experience heavenly eyesight. Number two, if you are to understand how to revision, I'm talking about the technology of revisioning. You need to expect God to speak to you. It sounds very simple, but very few people expect God to speak to them. A guy came and has made a proposal to you. I don't know why I'm talking about the singles today. A guy comes and he proposes to you. And the first unction in your heart is, no, he's not the right guy. But everything else seems okay. And already God has spoken to you, Pella. He has told you that, don't go there. But do you expect God to speak to you? Is there an expectation, or you're saying, I know what I'm supposed to do, but it doesn't feel like. I don't feel like doing it. I know I should forgive, but he needs to pay. Pay back time. Habakkuk 2:1, he says, I will watch to see. Habakkuk says, I'm positioned. I'm in my place of prayer, but I'm expectant. I expect to see. I will watch. I will observe the movement of God. I will look on the horizon to see if there's anything that indicates God moving on my behalf. I will open my ears to see if there's something coming from heaven for me. He was in prayer, but was expecting to hear God. Today, church, if we are to see again, we need to expect God to speak to us. You see, Habakkuk did not make prayers from a place of doubt where he says, if he answers, it is great. If he doesn't, I will make peace with it. Have you had believers who say, it sounds very religious, but it's a statement full of doubt and lack of faith. If he speaks, great. If he doesn't, I'll make peace with it. No, 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 no. God says, call unto me and I will answer you. That is our expectation. Glory be to God. When we call, we should expect an answer from our Father in heaven. Whether it's a no or it's a yes, there will be an answer from heaven. Glory be to God. Now, I want you to realize this morning that hearing God is the birthright of every born-again child of God. Hearing God is your birthright. It's not only reserved for the super powerful men of God, the papas of this world. Now, it's for every child of God. It's your inheritance. It's your portion. When you said yes to Jesus, that door was opened for you and I to hear him speak. We don't teach these things in our churches because we want people to become utterly dependent on us as pastors. As if we are the only ones who've got a privilege to enter heaven and hear what God is saying about other people. It's not an exclusion issue to say it's only for the elite. It is for every child of God. And the Bible says we are the elite of God. Every child of God. If you are born again today, it's your birthright to hear your Father speaking to you. My children, it's their birthright to hear my voice. Can you imagine 3 kids in a family? One of the kids say to the other kids, guys, daddy cannot speak to you. If you want to hear what daddy wants to say, you must come to me. You must come to me. I will go and ask daddy for you. And I'll come back and tell you that this is what father is saying. You cannot watch TV today. This is what we're doing in the churches today. We're thinking the man of God is the only one who has the right to hear from God. And we break that spirit in the name of Jesus. Every child of God has a birthright to hear their father speaking to them. Why am I saying that? John 10:27. My sheep hears my voice, and I follow them, and I know them rather, and they follow me. My sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you're a sheep and you're not a goat, you hear your father. You hear the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd would lead you. You see, the shepherd is not behind the sheep. The shepherd is in front of the sheep, and he keeps on calling. And there's a special call for every sheep. Every sheep will know, this is how my shepherd speaks to me. Hello, somebody. You see, when you talk about hearing God, it's not a science. I cannot come and give you formulas and say, follow step 1, 2, 3, skip step number 5, go to 7, and you'll hear God. No, it's a relationship. It's something that you develop. And because we are different, the Lord knows how to get you. That is why you and I need to develop our own unique way of hearing God. Hello, somebody. Come on now. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. So the Lord is on the door front of every child of God to pass on something. If we can hear him, if we pay attention, great. Now listen to me. I'm going to skip. I think let's go to Joel 2:28. Very powerful. Because it then tells us that we are in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, where now the prophet Joel was given the privilege to see what was going to happen in our time. And Joel says, in the last days, this is what the Lord says, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I'll pour out my spirit. He says here, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Hello? He says your old men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. It means God wants to speak to us, whether through a vision or through a dream. Now, take note of this. Your ability to revision requires that you hear God speaking to you. Your ability, I'm not saying here become mystical and, you know, everything that comes to you, say, this is God speaking to me. No, God knows how to reach you. We need to develop that ability. Let's look at the last point. So we are saying here, number one, create a secret place of prayer. Number two, be expectant. Expect God to speak to you. And number three, the last one is you need to pay attention in order to hear when God speaks. Maybe if you can correct that. When God speaks. Not when the God speaks. When God speaks is my typo. Pay attention in order to hear when God speaks. Because God is always speaking. It's just that man cannot perceive when God speaks. Now, Habakkuk 2 verse 1, the last part says here, I will watch to see what he will say to me. What he will say to me. God is speaking, but can I hear when he speaks? And one of the major reasons that we miss God when he speaks, it is because we do not pay attention. We are too busy. You read the word in the morning, well done. Well done, you are in the top 5% of Christians. You read the word. But then you left it there after reading in the morning. You didn't take it with you. You didn't meditate on it until the word speaks to you. You do it mechanically. You read the word. You leave it there. But the Bible tells us that thou shalt meditate on the word day and night so that you are able to do what it says, and in the process you'll prosper. I'm paraphrasing Joshua 1:8. It says here, meditate on the word day and night. But you hit the 5%, but then you dropped it by not paying attention to what the word says. When you read the word, do you ask yourself and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? Hello, somebody. I'm talking about paying attention to the word. And here he says here, I will watch to see what he will say to me. Hallelujah. What he will say to me. You see, the whole issue of hearing God is pretty much knowing the voice of somebody who is close to you. When they are behind the wall, you will hear them. That is my sister talking. Because you've spent so much time with them. That is my friend talking. I've spent so much time with him. That is my wife. My wife has got a contagious laughter. If she laughs behind in a crowd, I can pick her up like, that's mine. Hello? This is what God wants with us. That we get so intimate with him that in the midst of confusion, we can still pick him up. We can still experience the comfort that comes knowing that he is with us. This is what we're talking about. Now, God is calling you into a deeper walk with him. You see, what did Jesus mean in Matthew 18:3, he says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What did Jesus mean? The context there was about humility, seeing yourself rightly. You were saying, humble yourself. But I believe there's much more about just understanding what a child does. You see, when you deal with a child is trusting. It means if you tell them, I'm going to buy you a bike, they'll hold you to it. They will remind you. You walk through that door without a bike, like, what happened? Where is the bike? If you say to your child, jump and I'll hold you, the child will jump. But when you grow older, you start wondering, are you really going to hold me? I can see the floor here. You stop trusting, but when you're a child, there is this level of just letting go and allowing God to be God. That is what Jesus meant. So even when it comes to hearing God, you see, a child is easy to deal with. A child is easy to deal with. I'm being idealistic. Not every child is easy to deal with. But generally, when you're talking about children, you're thinking of a child who is malleable, who listens when you speak to them, right? A child listens when you speak to them. When you say, don't play with that knife, generally you expect a child to listen to you, okay? A child pays attention to his or her parents. This is the key to hearing God. This is the key to hearing God. Ooh, I'm running out of time, but there's a juicy portion of scripture I wanted to read you here. Let's go to 1 Kings 19, verse 11, talking about hearing God. 1 Kings 19, verse 11, this was Elijah running away from Jezebel. And he was running towards Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb was called the mountain of Jehovah. So he wanted to be with God. And he got into a cave. And he was expecting to hear God. And God speaks to him and says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by. Church, the Lord is about to pass by. What's your expectation? How do you expect him to pass by? Okay, I don't know what was in the mind of Elijah. When God says, the Lord is about to pass by. And listen to this, he says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Aibo, I thought, God, you are so big and mighty. And when you come, you announce yourself in a great way that nobody would miss you. Maybe this is what Elijah was expecting, but God was not there. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Oh man, when I read that, this time around, I've read it so many times. This was the revelation that came to me. God is not complex and complicated, but is simple enough for every human being to walk with him. I said, hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Because if God would always come in an earthquake, I don't know how many of us would be okay with him. Coming every time with fire. Imagine you're in the boardroom and God comes, wow, and there's fire in the boardroom. Like there's something weird about this guy. But this revelation came to me. God is not complex. He's not complicated. He is so simple that us human beings who are frail can walk with him. I can experience God cycling on my bike. He doesn't say, this doesn't look quite holy, Mike. I can experience God swimming with my kids. God can speak to me. Or doing my gardening. God can speak to me. I was doing my gardening yesterday, putting some manure on it. And God said to me, you've got to look after your spiritual garden. Look after your spirit, man. Do what you need to do to be healthy spiritually. Hello, somebody. So I'm saying to us today, don't expect earthquakes. Well, God can do it because he's God. But expect to hear God whichever way he wants to manifest himself. Now, I'm going to stop there today. This is the technology of hearing God, the technology of revisioning, seeing again. Seeing again. I want to see God. I want to hear God when I'm at work. I want to carry the heart of God for my family. I want to carry the heart of God for the church. I want to carry the heart of God. His presence is here. I want to create a space where He can meet up with me. Lord, enable me to create room for You. I'm hearing the Lord saying, my people are just too busy for me. I'm hearing the Lord saying, my people are too busy for me. I don't want to be too busy for Jehovah. I don't want the blessings of God to become a hindrance to my walk with Him. As I'm praying, pray for yourself. Lord, I don't want my work to take over my relationship with You. Jesus, You said, if You love your children, your wife, your house more than me, You're not worthy of my kingdom. Lord, we pray today in the name of Jesus. We're coming back. Lord, we surrender everything. Lord, we surrender our emotions. Lord, we want to hear You. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, break us today. We surrender to You, Holy Spirit. Just sense the anointing of God here right now. If you are sensitive enough, you would know Jesus is here. He's calling you in. He's calling you into Himself. Time of intimacy. Oh, Jesus. Kara soto borandia la kesha tahamasi ekete. Rabuko sangande bekiria takahashi ekito kosata bondi kita. Like a mighty wind. Blow in this place, Lord. Do something new, oh God, in our lives. Open our eyes so that we can see. Our spirit man, we can sense You when You move. Lord, we are okay when You come with fire. We are okay when You come with the thunder. We are okay when You come with a still small voice. Lord, you want to be a people of Your presence. Lord, we pray that we become a church of Your presence. Lord, we pray that we become a people of Your presence. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, never to be the same again. Lord, we pray today for revival to break out. Lord, we pray that dry bones would live again today. Let dry bones live again today in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You for Your grace today. Kabahata kariato sondoro moshika malelete. Mendreto sabahandoro moshikiribo sakahalamanda. Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, move in our lives, oh God. Father, we honor You today. We give You glory and we give You praise in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. With our heads bowed down, I want to give You a chance today. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to say yes to Him. I want to give you a chance today to open up your heart to Him. To say yes to the lover of your soul, the one who died for you on the cross. If you are here, just lift your hands. I'll pray for you. Anyone, anyone, anyone. Ah, yes, Lord, we thank You. Daddy, I've preached Your word. I pray that this word will bear much fruit. I pray that something will be awakened in the hearts of Your people. I pray that, Father, You refresh them. I pray that dreams will be awakened. I pray right now that their spiritual passions will be awakened again. Holy Spirit of God, go before them this week and do something special. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord.